You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you each and every week informed and talking about the Montreal Canadiens. We're here to keep you engaged even when the team hasn't been in session, but that changed this week, which is very exciting, and lots to talk about. So let's not waste any time. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host on today's show, which is episode 388, titled Montreal Canadiens Sprint to the Playoffs Begins Now. And boy, I'm here in the studio with my wonderful co-host, Rick Stevens, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. Rick, hello, and great to be here. And yeah, things are going to start flying fast and furious now.
Absolutely. It is going to be a sprint to the playoffs. And Marty St. Louis, as the Canadiens return to practice, said just that. We need to raise our heart rates. And maybe he was talking about fans, too. It's going to be an absolute sprint from now until middle of April.
Yeah, that it is. It's been a fun week. Olympic hockey there's been some nail biters. We're going to talk about that a little bit here coming up shortly, but it's all coming down to one big boiling point. What we're going to talk about this week, though, we are going to give you a brief recap on the Olympics, more importantly, kind of focusing on what the Habs Olympic representatives, how they performed in their Olympics, or are performing, depending on when you're listening to this. We are also going to get you caught up on a whole boatload of roster news now that the team is back practicing again. Lots of things to talk about with the roster and as well, lots of things happening on the Habs prospect report as the NCAA season is starting to tick its way down towards the playoffs and so forth. It means there's lots happening with Habs prospects playing college hockey, Laval and Trois-Rivières. They didn't have an Olympic break. They've had a lot going on. So we're going to get you caught up on all of that as well. All of that in the first segment. Then in our second segment, well, that's where we tackle our big topic. And this week, as we said, it's the Montreal Canadiens sprint to the NHL playoffs. Practices are back. Games start again this week. And then boom, 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 boom. It's going to be one thing after another over the next handful of weeks. And before you know it, we're going to be looking at the end of the regular season. And so what do the Habs have to work with? How are things going to change? What do they need to do to get through this next, you know, month and a half, that type of thing? Lots to unpack between now, the end of the Olympics, and the end of the regular season. And I think the Canadiens are pretty well poised to handle that, but we're going to get into all the nitty-gritty things, all the potential obstacles, potential strengths, weaknesses, so on and so forth. It's going to be a great segment. And of course, we're going to have a great Canadians Connection question of the week to ask all of you, our listeners and viewers. The idea with those every week, in case you're new to the show, is that we ask you a question of the week and we want to literally hear your answers. It's interactive. We want you to send us a text on our Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. 5853-ROCKET. We want you to send in your answer as a comment on Spotify or a comment on our YouTube channel, or send in your reply as a DM or a mention on social media. That's at Habs Connection on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram. We collect all of your answers to the question of the week. And then the following week on the show, we pick out the best ones that we got, whether we agree with them or not. And I will say, spoiler alert, there are some responses that we got this week that maybe we don't necessarily agree with, or so on and so forth, but we're going to read them anyway, because maybe you agree with them. Maybe, or maybe it'll spark you to want to add your voice to the conversation as well. So all of that happens in our third segment before we get you ready for the week ahead and send you on your way. So, Rick, let's get started with a little bit about the Winter Olympics and the hockey action. We have whittled our way down all the way to the medal round. Actually, today, shortly, we're recording in the early afternoon Eastern time on Saturday. So shortly, the bronze medal game is going to kick off between Finland and Slovakia after Finland dropped their semifinal match against Canada. Slovakia lost to the U.S., and of course, and we're going to talk about it more in a little bit, that also then sets up a big gold medal game on Sunday morning at 10 after 8, Canada versus U.S.
So lots of fans talking about games too early, talking about too many men, talking about all kinds of things this week.
Yeah.
You mentioned nail biters. There were three of the four games in the quarterfinals went to overtime. That set up the semifinal, the U.S. and Slovakia. Slovakia, kind of the Cinderella team, driven by Juraj Slafkovský, Dalibor Dvorský. But they looked nervous. They looked uncomfortable. They didn't look themselves. No. And the U.S. cruised to a 6-2 victory on Friday. Different story with the Canadian team and Team Canada and the Finns. Finns out to a 2-0 lead, and then they tried to play defense for 40 minutes, and that didn't really work out too well. A big game, the two powerhouses on Sunday morning, as it should be, and yes, you can get up at 8:10 a.m. for the game.
Sure.
Yes, you can do that, because we're just happy to see the two teams who should be there. They will be there.
That's right.
On Sunday.
Definitely. The Canadians, don't forget, had four different representatives. Alexander Texier, of course, playing for France. He wore an A while France was still in the tournament. Although Alex Texier, well, overall, Team France just had a pretty disappointing tournament. They didn't get a single win, I don't believe, in any of their four games played.
And Texier played four games, no points, minus 10. He played a lot, played 20 minutes, but he got the Olympic experience.
He did.
Let's say.
And so did Oliver Kapanen, playing for Finland. Despite the fact that, you know, he didn't really get any ice time. I think Oliver Kapanen would have walked away with a great experience playing for such being around and practicing with such a competitive team like Team Finland.
And still has a chance for a medal.
That's right.
He dressed twice in the tournament, was the 13th forward in both games that he was dressed.
For Slovakia, who Oliver Kapanen and the Finns will be playing against for the bronze medal, Juraj Slafkovský, definitely the most successful of the four Canadians players who were representing at the Olympics. Just another, you know, not the MVP winning tournament that he had in 2022, but absolutely nothing to hang his head about. Juraj Slepkovský having a wonderful tournament. It's not over yet. And he even helped Slovakia get on the board and start to save some face a little bit in that semifinal matchup against the U.S.
4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points in the 5 games that he played. You could tell in that game against the Americans from the opening faceoff, Slepkovský out there opposite Matthew Tkachuk, and he was Slepkovský was the target with Tkachuk delivering some cross checks even before the puck was dropped. Slepkovský said all he wants to do is come home with a medal, and he'll have a chance at that, a bronze medal. You mentioned the bronze medal game going later this afternoon.
That's right. And for Team Canada, Nick Suzuki, of course, still has an opportunity in a very big spotlight game to make a big difference. He's had a relatively, I'd say, a quiet tournament, although he was kind of at both ends of the spectrum in the game against Finland.
Let's be honest. Nick Suzuki.
Oh, I'm sorry. The game against Czechia was that the one?
Nick Suzuki is not in the category of Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon or Macklin Celebrini, but he can be a very effective player and. You know, and an objective look was that Nick Suzuki was quite uncomfortable. He didn't look himself while he was playing on the wing. And in that game against Czechia, he was not having a great game. There was that second period when the game was tied 2-2. He had a wide open net and missed the wide open net on the far side. And he just didn't seem to be himself. And then Czechia went up in the third period. And you know, Nick Suzuki prides himself on his defensive play. And he himself said that he would have liked to have played that better. The drop pass going to Palat, and wanted to be able to prevent that. But then it was Nick Suzuki in one incredible shift.
That's right.
Showing how valuable he was. His line mates going off to change. Nick Suzuki going in on the forecheck, retrieved the puck, got it back to the point, and then was able to move to the front of the net, redirect Devon Taves' shot, and got the enormous tying goal in that game that allowed the Canadians to go on and Team Canada to go on and win in overtime on Mitch Marner's goal. So a huge goal and lots of praise from his coach, John Cooper, and talked about all the different roles that he is able to play and be that Swiss Army knife kind of player, being very versatile. So, a mixed tournament maybe, just being there, he showed why he was there. I'm just going to find that John Cooper clip that says he's a Swiss Army knife. He can play with anybody. And I thought he elevated his game. When our country needed a goal, Nick Suzuki answered. Good for him.
Well, that's a
nice compliment there.
Definitely a nice compliment. And it had to have felt good for Suzuki, kind of redemption before that game ended. If that game had ended with those two big egregious either mistakes or misses, I think he would have been really down on himself about that. So
for sure,
that goal was a bit of redemption, and we'll see what he does in the gold medal game. And so with that said, that means that, as you mentioned, two Canadians players will come home with a medal. Either Slepkovský or Kapanen will have a bronze.
Yep.
And Suzuki will have either a gold or a silver. We don't know which yet. But two of the four will come home with a medal.
So that would be a very successful trip for the Canadians representatives. Marty St. Louis said he didn't have a chance to watch any of the Olympic hockey during his break. He was busy with family. He complained about coverage being, he was in Connecticut, complained about hockey coverage in the U.S., but he said he did catch some of the highlights.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into this because it's just, that's a whole can of Marty St. Louis complaining. Hockey coverage is challenging in the U.S. at times, except when it's the Olympics and it's on cable. You don't need to have a Peacock subscription necessarily in order to watch games. So particularly the semis and quarters and whatnot. Anyway, maybe he's coming back from the break really super prepared for the rest of the season. Speaking of being back, on Tuesday, it was the Habs' first day, the NHL in general. Canadians resumed practices at Brassard, and I think lots of fans were delighted to find out that Alex Newhook was practicing. Was he wearing a non-contact jersey?
Wearing a
non-contact jersey. So he's getting close.
Yeah, he looked very good. And, you know, everybody maybe was feeling a little rusty, as Marty St. Louis said. The goal of the 40-minute practice on Tuesday was to get everyone's heart rates beating again and raised, almost 2 weeks off for the team. So it was a spirited practice on Tuesday at Brassard. And as you said, Alex Newhook looked pretty good, although wearing a non-contact jersey. Alex Newhook, that was his first time skating with the whole group since his surgery. He was out, as you know, with a fractured ankle. He was predicted that happened on the 14th of November. He was projected to miss 4 months. So that would have him coming back on the 14th of March. He's ahead of schedule on that respect. And I think that the Canadians, you know, he was off to a good start, 12 points in 17 games to start the season. So he was welcomed back by his teammates.
Boy, if the Canadians learn anything, it's that the slightest thing that's off kilter or out of whack at practice turns into front page headlines. Patrick Laine missed practice on Tuesday. For the first day back, you remember he had been skating with the team prior to the Olympic break. And so then the Canadians announce, after he misses practice on Tuesday, the Canadians come out with an announcement that he's dealing with a lower body injury and he's going to be evaluated from day to day. Well, boy, did that just blow up the internet.
That certainly triggered rumors that the Canadians were holding him out with respect to a trade. And it didn't help that in a Finnish publication, one of Patrick Laine's closest friends, he's a NHL commentator, his name is Antti Mäkinen, said that he was being held out because he had played his last game for the Canadians, and that don't be surprised if there was a trade before the trade deadline. And he even went so far as to say he said many teams had inquired, but probably the strongest interest came from the Los Angeles Kings, who, because of his time at the Olympics, will be without Kevin Fiala for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So all of that just kind of, it kind of exploded, and the balloon grew on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, it was Patrick Laine at practice.
So no, he's fine.
The bubble kind of burst on that.
He's fine, really. Yeah. See, he's fine. Canadians did have.
That's not to say that he may be traded. I think it's very likely that very likely that he will be, but he was back with the team skating.
Habs having a little bit of fun during their practice this week. On Friday, they held an open practice outside at the Bleu Blanc Rouge rink at Confederation Park in NDG. That's one of the rinks that was built through the Canadians Children's Foundation. Everyone seemed to have a good time out in the sunshine, outside, fresh air, with an outdoor practice.
Liked Lane Hutson. Lane Hutson said, yeah, no big deal. We've been here before. It was Lane Hutson and Ivan Demidov who were there around Christmas time and played shinny hockey with the kids that showed up on that very same rink in NDG.
Once France was eliminated from Olympic contention, that meant Alex Texier flew back to North America, flew back to Canada, and he was able to participate on today's practice, after returning from the Olympics. But there was a different member of the Canadians who was absent from practice on Saturday.
Sam Montembeau wasn't at practice on Saturday. Apparently no cause for concern there. He was just dealing with a personal matter.
Alrighty. Although Sam Montembeau wasn't there, there were some notable people who were at practice on Saturday, like Jeff Gordon, Kent Hughes, and Chris Boucher.
Chris Boucher is the director of analytics. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon, all three were in the gallery watching practice on Saturday in Brossard.
Just as a reminder, in case it's gotten lost in the shuffle for you with all the Olympic coverage, the Canadians are going to be hosting their annual skills competition tomorrow. That's Sunday at the Bell Centre at 1 p.m. Eastern. Always something fun particularly for families to get to go out to do. And they missed out on their Super Bowl family matinees this year. So should be a lot of fun with the Habs skills competition.
Yeah, that starts at 1 o'clock. Doors open. We'll open a couple of hours before that. Nothing yet from the Canadians. We note that we talked about the gold medal game between Canada and the U.S. Scotiabank Arena in Toronto is going to be opening at 7 a.m. To show the game to Leafs fans. Nothing yet from the Canadians whether they'll open the rink even earlier than 11 for the skills comp.
I think I saw Frank Saravelli mention that there are provinces that have allowed for 5 a.m. alcohol sales.
Yeah, that's right.
To start pre-gaming before.
Multiple provinces have temporarily adjusted the liquor laws.
Yeah.
That they can start serving as early as 5 a.m. There's all kinds of watch parties across Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And bars will be open early.
Yes, they will. Before we move away from this, do you want to make mention of any notables? You know, there's the lines at practice are obviously not what it's going to be by the end of the week. Was there anything that you are taking away from how the lineups during this kind of pieced together practices this week so far?
Yeah. Obviously, Nick Suzuki, Yaroslav Kovsky, Oliver Kapanen, still in Milan, and they'll get their spots back when they return from the Olympics. So there are players who are filling those three holes especially. But I think it's important to see how the lines are set for practice on Saturday. You have Doc, Caulfield, and Veleno on the top line on Saturday. So Veleno is obviously the placeholder there, and maybe that means that Veleno doesn't have a permanent position. He could be a scratch to once the season resumes. You have Demidov, Newhook, and Patrick Laine. Maybe two of those players are placeholders, with Slavkovsky and Kapanen coming back to the second line. You have Gallagher, Deno, and Anderson. That line's going to stick together, it appears. And then you have Evans with Bolduc and Textier. And I think once Newhook's back, you know, that's it's going to be interesting where he's going to end up. Might be that line. And are Bolduc and Texier competing for the same slot? On defense, Hudson and Dobson, Matheson and Gouley, Struble and Jacki with Carrier as the extra. And goaltending, you had Dobish and an extra goaltender they called up to replace. I shouldn't say that. It wasn't a call-up from the AHL. It was an invitee from the LNAH so that they could have a second goaltender there. So not meaningful, but not set in stone. Let's put it that way.
That's right. All right. Well, let's take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report and see what the youngins have been up to.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
This week's prospect that we're going to highlight is in the NCAA, and it's Michael Hage. I think it was last week that we mentioned that he had a five-point night against Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that earned him the honor of being a Big Ten first star of the week this week, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, announced on Tuesday, he was named the Big Ten first star of the week. This is the fourth time that he's earned that Big Ten Weekly Award in his career. He's had two first stars, one second star, and one third star. We'll mention that Michael Hage, so far in 30 games, has 42 points. He's a plus 15. Last time I checked, he was third in scoring in the NCAA.
Wow. Keep it going, Michael Hage. He's had an exciting season once again. Also coming out of the NCAA, the 10 semifinalists for this year's Mike Richter Award that goes to the top goaltender in the NCAA, those came out this year. And of the 10 semifinalists, Rick, there are some Habs prospects represented.
There are, and we've talked about them before. Alexei Cornway, who is playing really well for Cornell. He's been in 20 games, has a record of 14-6-0, 2.01 goals against, .918 save percentage, and this is his freshman year at Cornell. Also, Emmett Croteau at Dartmouth. He has a 10-4-2 record in 16 games, 199 goals against, .918 save percentage, and he's earned a shutout as well. So they're part of that the 10 semifinals. There's a lot of good goaltenders in this in this list. Trey Augustine at Michigan State has 22 wins. Michael Rabel at Massachusetts, 15 wins. On and on and on. So you'll remember that last year, the Mike Richter Award went to Jacob Fowler, who was playing for Boston College.
Yes.
So could it be 2 years in a row?
That would be fun.
For a Montreal Canadiens prospect? Well, we'll find out on Friday, April the 10th, and that's during the Frozen Four, which takes place in Las Vegas this year.
Oh, boy. That's a big one. For Laval, they have had a pretty decent go of things lately. Last Saturday, they beat the Toronto Marlies 4-2. Kaapo Kähkönen backstopping them in that one. Only had to make 14 saves. So Toronto not with a lot of firepower in that one. Laval coming out on top. On Monday, it was one of those, because it was President's Day here in the States, they had one of those school day games bright and early in the morning.
And Family Day in Canada.
And so they had one of those early games in Toronto, and when the Marlies do those games, that place, I think the decibel level is even louder. I think the kids in Toronto shriek louder than any other group of school children. Cause it's how it's boy, Yes. If you've never attended one, take earplugs when you do, because it's quite an experience. But the kids have a great time. And while Laval managed to get a point out of it because they did get to the shootout, Toronto eventually ultimately came out on top 4-3 in that one. Jacob Fowler was in net for that. And Joshua Watkins in a little bit of trouble, got called to the principal's office on a school day game.
Yeah, 10-minute misconduct for abuse of the officials. Actually, right at the end of the game, there was an incident which you may have heard about on social media. Fans very upset. The Marley scored a goal after Jacob Fowler lost his mask, lost his helmet. Lots of uproar. The Laval bench at the end of the game received a 10-minute misconduct for abuse of officials. So, yeah, a bit pretty raucous game that particular day.
Yes. And of course, then after a week of being back with practice, they played, they came back, went to Rochester, I should say, playing the Amerks, and won in overtime on Friday night, 3-2. Mark Dalgaizo with the overtime game-winning goal. Kaapo Kähkönen back in net again. Why was that, Rick?
Well, apparently, according to the Rochester Americans broadcaster, we know him, Don, said that Jacob Fowler was supposed to start, but had an illness prior to the game, so Kähkönen had to sub in.
All right. So Laval is just cruising along. They've had one regulation loss in their last 10 games. They're still sitting at first in the North. They have moved up to fourth overall in the AHL. They've got 69 points right now, 21 games left on the schedule. They're playing later today and on Sunday. They're playing in Utica Saturday and Sunday. Then they go home for a Wednesday game against Toronto, and then they're back on the road in Rochester again on Friday. It's a
busy week.
It's going to be a busy week for them. And Trois-Rivières managed to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They're on a 5-game winning streak.
They've been a streaky team this year. Yeah, up to 19th place in the ECHL.
Yeah, good for them. Of course, all eyes in the hockey world, literally in the world, are going to be on Sunday morning's Winter Olympics crowning event, which will be not just the gold medal game for men's hockey. It is Canada versus U.S. This is, as you had said earlier, it's how it's supposed to be. This is not going to be an easy game. And I can't imagine anybody not missing. I can't imagine anybody missing it. This is must watch TV if there ever was any.
Tom Wilson says, it's not that long ago, this is his quote, that you were that kid in the classroom when they wheeled in those big TVs. You'd put the antennas up so you get the signal and you'd watch Team Canada play. I remember being there, seeing your local rink with watch parties cheering you on. I mean, that's why we're here. All I can do, all we can do at this point is leave it all out there for our country. Tom Wilson's pretty excited to play, and we'll see if that line was very effective. Wilson, Marchand, and Bennett, the mayhem line that was put together. We'll see if the Mac line, Nathan MacKinnon, Macklin Celebrini, Connor McDavid, that super line gets put together. We'll see if Sidney Crosby
plays or not.
Questionable. Josh Morrissey is out. Sorry, I'm giving all the Canada updates. I know there's another team playing as well, and maybe the U.S. has a slight advantage. I think you'd have to give them the stick tap for defense, and in goal, Canada has the advantage with respect to forwards, just a general opinion, but it's going to be a colossal event and should be a great game, and certainly all of Canada and much of the U.S. will be watching.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We've got a message for you from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And on the other side of that, we're going to get into it. The Montreal Canadiens and their sprint to the NHL playoffs that starts basically right now. Let's get you all set for it and figure out what has to happen between now and the start of those playoffs. Right after this, you are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name's Amy Johnson. I am here in the studio with my wonderful co-host, our president and Rocket Sports founder, Rick Stevens. If you're not following us on over there on the Twitters, why don't you do that? My handle is @FlyersRule. Rick's is @RocketSports. That's actually the one you really want to follow, @RocketSports. That's our main account for everything that we do, all the kind of content we do, written, video, audio, you name it. And you get lots of updates about the Habs and the prospects and Laval and whatnot there as well. So be sure you're following him @RocketSports. And as I mentioned in the first segment, you can also follow this podcast on social media @HabsConnection, @HabsConnection. That's on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. We are here 52 weeks a year. This is not a hockey season only podcast. We're here all year round because really hockey news never really stops, even in the off season. So be sure you are subscribed. So with the resumption of NHL action coming up this week, believe it or not, and the ice at Brassard, full of practice action, the Canadiens now find themselves in that rather intense part of the season where pretty much every game starts to feel a lot heavier. The standings are going to start tightening up an awful lot. The margin for error is all but gone. And it's also that part where you start to realize that you're not just watching games, you're doing math every single night. You know, okay, how does, and not just for Habs games, but for other teams within the division and how they did, and doing the math and what's the playoff odds. What makes this part of the season really even more fascinating is that it's not just one storyline that's driving things. It's not just the numbers game. You've also got the schedule to contend with. You've got injuries, and whether it's new injuries or people returning from injuries to contend with. And then there's the never-ending questions about sustainability of the roster, depth of the roster. Can this group actually maintain their momentum when the pressure starts ramping up? So what we want to do today is we want to unpack all of that and pretty much just get you ready for when the Habs drop the puck again on Thursday night, get you ready for what's really going to start to feel like a rapid fire end to the season. There's going to be things coming at you in really quick succession over the next few weeks. And we want to explore whether or not the Habs can navigate their way through it all and still come out with a solid shot for the playoffs and in the playoffs at the end of all of it.
So maybe it's been a couple of weeks since you've looked at the standings. So we'll just briefly set the scene for you, remind you of where the Canadians stand now. They've completed 57 games, record of 32-17-8, 72 points. That places them second in the Atlantic, sixth in the NHL. They have a winning percentage of .632. They're on pace for a 103-point season. Third in the NHL in goals for, 24th in the NHL in goals against. And as far as the goal differential, they're a plus 12. That's 10th in the NHL. And right now, they have about an 82.7% chance of making the playoffs.
The Atlantic Division, though, is really competitive. Like, really, really competitive. And this week, after one of the practices, Brendan Gallagher talked about how ready the guy, like, they have to flip a switch now. Like, they had their vacation, and now it's time to get back to work.
We deserve that break, but now, you know, it's time to get back to the rink and put in the work and get ready. I mean, it's not going to get any easier. I think you're going to see a lot of desperation in a lot of teams, and it's going to be important for us to pick up where we left off.
Pick up where they left off, mm-hmm. which was very good. And the Canadians heading into the Olympic break were 4-0-1 in their last five games, and they need to continue that pace. Because they have to consider that other teams, like the position the Canadians were in last year, that playing desperate, that other teams are going to be desperate to play to get into the playoffs, and they're going to ramp up their competitive level, and they have to expect that. They have to expect that they're going to be one of those teams that's targeted when players see that CH come up on the upcoming schedule.
So speaking of the schedule, let's talk about the 25 games they're going to have to play in 48 days and what their schedule looks like compared to everybody else.
All right.
Strength of schedule.
It's tough. It's the eighth toughest schedule in the league. They're going to be playing a game every 2 days, 25 games in 48 days. They've started, the practices have resumed. They're going to ramp up over this next week until they return to action. That's going to be on Thursday night. Prior to that, the trade freeze is going to expire. The trade freeze at the Olympic trade freeze. So are we going to see any movement early Monday morning and beyond? And the Canadians, when they return to the schedule, the two games that they have, kind of a luxury, I guess, they're going to host two games at the Bell Center. Thursday, as I mentioned, that one's against the Islanders, and then Saturday against the Washington Capitals.
But then they leave on a three-game Western road trip, and that road trip happens in the midst of that three-game road trip out west. The trade deadline's going to occur.
That's right.
Really, like, it's like piling everything on all at once. It's a three-game road trip. It's a three-game road trip that's out west, so you've got time zone, you know, you've got jet lag and all that kind of stuff. And in the midst of that, you've got the stress of the trade deadline.
So three California teams are going to play the Sharks. Then comes the trade deadline Friday, March 6th. Then the Anaheim Ducks. Then the Los Angeles Kings.
Boy. That's going to be a tense first part of that trip, mm-hmm. I would imagine. In the month of March, the Canadians are going to play 15 times.
15 games.
Yeah.
Seven home games, eight on the road in the month of March. As I said, every 2 days, you'll have a Canadians game. Generally, mm-hmm. you'll have a game to watch every couple of days.
And then in April, we know that the season typically wraps up by mid-April at the latest. They've got 8 games evenly split, 4 at home and 4 on the road in April.
8 games between the 1st of April and the 14th of April. That's when the season's going to end in Philadelphia, the regular season for the Montreal Canadiens.
But if that wasn't bad enough, how all of that sounds, how about 5 back-to-backs within that time in March and April?
So, and one's coming up fairly soon, March 6th, 7th, at Anaheim, and then at the LA Kings. That's the Friday, Saturday of the trade deadline and the day after that California road trip.
So that's, I mean, we're talking strength of schedule against your opponents. How about strength of schedule against the grind that they're going to go through with number of games, road trips and home games, back-to-backs? It's going to be, we use the word intense already, it is going to be intense. It's going to be grueling mentally and physically. Trade deadline thrown in there, all of it. It's going to be nuts.
Let's just look at those back-to-backs. I mentioned the California one. The 10th and 11th, a few days later, in Toronto, and then, at the Bell Center versus Toronto, mm-hmm. and then in Ottawa the next night. That's March 10th and 11th, in Atlantic, 2 Atlantic Division games.
And that's not too bad, because it's just from home, just up the road to Ottawa and back. So that's not too bad. But then at the end of the month, March 28, 29, they are in Nashville, and the next night they're in Carolina.
The tougher matchup, obviously, the more difficult matchup against Carolina on the second night after mm-hmm. After the team may be tired.
They kick off things in April on the 4th and the 5th with a home and home against the New Jersey Devils, starting on the road and finishing at the Bell Center. And then the 11th and 12th, they are home versus the Blue Jackets. Then the next night they travel to the New York Islanders.
It's intense, and likely we're going to see the goaltending duties split up, mm-hmm. Particularly in those back-to-backs. It's going to be fatiguing, both mentally and physically, and the Canadians are going to have to be prepared for that.
Now, don't forget, last year there wasn't an Olympic break, but there was a Four Nations face-off break around the same-ish time last year. And it was after that the Canadians came back with a complete fire lit under them, and over 26 games went 15-5-6.
And earned a wild card spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs on the last day, and they have to consider that they don't need to do that this season. Mm-mm. But there'll be other teams who will be desperate enough, as Brendan Gallagher said, trying to go on that kind of run.
They will be. They headed into in their last 5 games before the Olympic break, they went 4-0-1. And I think that's exactly what Brendan Gallagher means when he says, we have to pick, he said, quote, it's going to be important for us to pick up where we left off. And yeah, 4-0-1, that's where you want to, you want to be carrying that momentum 2 weeks later.
So what have we just described? We've described a playoff sprint, as we've been calling it, a time that's going to be very intense for the Montreal Canadiens, and that's kind of what their head coach said at practice.
I think it's important to disconnect a little bit, for sure, and recharge and get, because, the next stretch is going to be intense again. It's going to be physically intense. We're going to get challenged mentally as well. We're going to try and take care of our stuff, but, there's a whole league out there that's playing. It's trying to grab points, too, that you can't control necessarily unless you take care of yourself. So, I think we'll be ready for both, the physical and the mental load that it demands. And sometimes having that break prepares you better for what's coming.
So he has appreciated the break. It's helped some of his players heal and clear their minds and be ready both physically and mentally, as he says, for this very intense sprint that's going to happen between now and April 14th.
However, as we mentioned, one of the key components here is that there are healthy players who are going to be coming back into the lineup. Rick identified some of the placeholders who were not only doing placeholding for players who were over at the Olympics, but also for injuries that are close to returning as well. And Marty St. Louis acknowledged that this week, that guys are getting healthy and are going to return to the lineup.
We have, healthy bodies are going to come back in. We're going to have to make hard decisions, but, you know, making hard decisions, a good place to be is because you have some good options, and we'll cross the bridge when that comes.
It's a good problem to have. Have to make some decisions. Are the decisions hard? Maybe not. I think it's safe to say, and we'll look at the Canadiens' projected lineup post-trade deadline, because let's all agree that everyone expects Patrick Laine to be traded at least by then. That top line, there's no reason to change it at this point. Suzuki, Caulfield, and Doc.
No.
Second line, Kapanen with Slavkovsky and Demidov. Yep. Interestingly, that Oliver Kapanen looks in that bronze medal game against Slovakia, looks like he's going to be playing on the top line with Sebastian Aho and Arturi Lehkonen. What an experience in a bronze medal game for him.
Yeah.
And evidence of what they think of that player. Third line, you could have Jake Evans with Alex Newhook once he's ready to come back. Alex Texier, three speedy players. You might have Texier and Bolduc fighting for the same. But that might be one of the decisions that Marty St. Louis is talking about. The fourth line, the veteran line, Deneau with Anderson and Gallagher. Mm-hmm. The extras, is it going to be Valeno out? Is it going to be Texier out? Is it going to be Bolduc as a healthy scratch? And as I said, we expect that Patrick Laine will be traded at some point.
On the defensive side of things, Mathis and Gouley probably pretty cemented there as the top pairing. And as you had talked about earlier, it's really going to come down to who's going to be on the third pairing with Carrier. Is it going to be a Jacki or is it going to be a Struble?
And that might be a game by game kind of decision. And to this point, it doesn't look like the coaching staff really trusts either one. They rotate quite often. And when they're in the lineup, they don't play a lot of minutes. That top line, our top pairing of Mathis and Gouley, I liked what Caden Gouley said in practice this week, that he doesn't really want to think about what happened, the injuries and whatnot that happened during the season. He liked the way that he played that final game against the Winnipeg Jets. Yes, he's playing on his offside to accommodate Mathieson, but he was able to play the style of hockey, both defensively and offensively, that he likes to play, and he wants to use, carry that momentum into the reset after the Olympic break.
And it's, in terms of the crease, I think nobody would argue with the fact that Dobesh has solidified himself as the starter, and so it should be Dobesh as your general starter with Montembeau backing him up.
Just one more note with Oliver Kapanen, and I mentioned about him playing on that top line for Finland in the bronze medal game. It's because Mikko Rantanen won't be able to go. He's dealing with a lower body injury, so it's Oliver Kapanen in for Rantanen for the bronze medal game.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. So you've heard from us. Now we want to hear from you. And we've got a related Canadians connection question of the week for you this week. It's a multiple choice. Which factor worries you the most for this year's Canadians playoff push, this last sprint to the playoffs? What factor worries you the most? The schedule, fatigue, injury potential, the Habs roster depth, or their Atlantic Division rivals. Which factor worries you the most in the Canadiens' playoff push? You've got the schedule slash fatigue slash injury potential. You've got Habs roster depth, or your third choice is the Atlantic Division rivals. Be sure you send us your response. Text us at 5853-ROCKET and tell us why. Tell us why you think, why you've picked the one of those three things that you're picking. 5853-ROCKET is the text line. You can drop a comment on Spotify. You can drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You'll find that over at InsideTheCanadians.com. Or you can hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. Can't wait to see what you think and why you think it. And when we come back after this last break that we're going to take here on the show with a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings, we are going to bring you some really interesting responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, including some new commenters. Always like to hear from people we haven't heard from before, so you're not going to want to miss that. Stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 388 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button. If you're able to leave a review, whether it's a five-star review, a testimonial, or even just hit smashing that like button, please do that as well. It goes a long way towards helping us out. And what else helps us out a lot is if you share this episode. It takes just a second. Right in your podcast player or right there on YouTube, just tap that share button and share this episode with all of your other Habs friends who obviously follow you on your social media accounts. Just a reminder to get in your answer to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which factor worries you most in the Canadians playoff push? You've got A, the schedule slash fatigue slash injury potential, B, the Habs roster depth, or C, their Atlantic Division rivals. You can argue all three of them, really. But which one do
you... Or if you have a part D, go ahead and write that in.
Or if there's something else that you're worried about, let us know about that as well. Last week, we asked you which player potentially acquired by Kent Hughes at the NHL trade deadline would move the needle for the Montreal Canadiens. We got some interesting answers.
Let's look at the responses on YouTube, and let me read one from at Robert Ferraro, W8Y, and Robert says basically that the Canadians don't need to add anyone else. Let me read the full comment. You're ignoring the fact that the Habs added three forwards with extensive NHL experience in the past couple of months. Sammy Blais, Alex Texier, and Philip Deneau. While Kirby Dach, Patrick Laine, and Alex Newhook were out with long-term injuries, Dach has returned while Laine and Newhook could all be back in action within the next couple of weeks. And he finishes, as I said, they don't need to add anyone else. Thanks for your comment. And I don't know if you're sending that comment our way about ignoring that they added three forwards. We haven't ignored anything. Might point you in the direction of episode 386, where we talked all about the strengths and weaknesses at each position, mentioned all the players that had been added and the ones that were coming back from injury. That's the Canadians Connection, episode 386. You can find all of our episodes at CanadiansConnection.fm. Last week, the entire purpose of our second segment was to look at what some of the insiders had been saying about potential trades that the Canadians could make prior to the trade deadline.
We also then have a response from at William Armour 1656. He says, Habs trade bait rumors are usually stupid. Hugo have made their strategy clear. Unless a Dobson-type move becomes a possibility, any move will be minor. We will not repeat the mistakes made by the New York Rangers, the Sens, Toronto Maple Leafs, New Jersey Devils, the Oilers, the Preds, or the Canucks, who all misread their team's readiness and jumped too soon. Minor moves are likely, but they will keep their focus and ammunition for when they need it. So
I think that's fair.
William thinks they're going to practice patience, basically.
However, you might want to pay attention to what Jeff Gordon said, and we love his quote. Quote, we'd like to be aggressive, and we will be, if need be. End of quote.
We'd like to, and we will, if we need to.
If we need to. So, and he talked about it all depends on what's available and what falls into their lap. So, it's understandable that there are some trade bait rumors based on that and people trying to make a fit between what's out there and the needs of the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. But thank you, William Armour, 1656. Great comment. And keep them coming. We also have one from at Mike King T2U. And he says, had Rotenberg given Demidov more than 5 to 7 minutes a game and some power play time, he'd have gotten a lot more points. I've heard a lot of people say, don't let Zhirovsky's points fool you. He's not near in the same league as Demidov. Now, this is coming based off of a portion of last week's prospect report where we were talking about just how dynamic Zhirovsky has been, how successful he's been in the KHL
and
this season.
And setting the record, the KHL record.
That's right. And comparing and mentioning him alongside of, you know, Demidov, actually, you know, also wowed the hockey world as well. But Rick, there's some nuance there as well.
Yeah, we were talking about their point totals and whatnot. Congratulations to Zhirovsky in setting that record. Talked about the pace compared to Demidov, but we weren't doing a skills comparison. We weren't doing a talent comparison. Mm-mm. And I think you're right that Demidov is another next level of yeah. player compared to Zhirovsky. Let him prove us wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Once he comes on this side of the pond.
But thank you, Mike King T2U. Again, another person that I don't believe we've heard from before. So keep those new commenters coming. We love our frequent commenters. We appreciate that they make their voices heard quite often, but we also really enjoy hearing from new listeners as well. And you have one more, I believe.
This one comes from our friend Leonid in St. Petersburg, Russia. And I'd asked him how he enjoyed the AHL All-Star Classic. And Leonid responded. He said, thanks for a great show. The NHL provides plenty of topics for discussion, even during the break. However, there's no games, and I'm sure many noticed the AHL All-Star Game. While I consider the NHL All-Star Game at the very least unnecessary, I consider such an event and even useful and necessary for the American Hockey League. It's a great opportunity for young hockey players to be in the spotlight and remind fans and journalists of themselves. As you so accurately noted, public opinion sometimes influences the decisions franchise management makes. You can argue about who was the best that night. You can debate whether a show is even necessary. But one thing is for certain, the ice was much better than in Italy. And a great
Touché.
Comment from Leonid.
Definitely. All right. So don't forget, if you want a chance at your thoughts and comments and opinions being read on next week's show, well, be sure to get in your answer to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week or any other, you know, opinion or question that you want to throw at us. In the meantime, this week we are back to NHL action. Thursday night, the New York Islanders visit the Canadians at the Bell Center. Saturday night, it's the Washington Capitals coming to town. Back in NHL hockey this week, once we know who's going to take home the gold from Milan. Then, of course, our next podcast will be next Saturday, February 28th, wrapping up the month of February the right way. So we don't want you to miss that. Be sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Have a great week. Enjoy the gold medal game and enjoy the Canadians getting back on the ice this week. And we'll see you again next time right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.